You may be seated. I'm going to be reading out of the book of 2 Kings this morning, chapter 6. This is one of my favorite stories from the Bible, beginning in verse 8. Once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, "At such and such a place shall be my camp." But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there." And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Thus he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." And he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him." It was told him, "Behold, he is in Dothan." So he sent there horses and chariots and a great army. And they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. This is the word of the Lord. Now I invite you to join me as we read through the section of angels and demons in our statement of faith. We believe angels are created spirit beings who exist for God's purposes. Satan and his demons are angels who rebelled against God. Satan is the god of this world, the author of sin, and seeks to deceive all mankind. Satan and his demons will be judged and cast into the lake of fire forever. We believe that both angels and demons have intense involvement in human life today. We believe that Jesus destroyed the works of Satan, and this means Christ can resist him.
If you would open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6, that's going to be our kind of main place that we're going to be looking at. 2 Kings 6, which was just read for us. And we are looking, still going through our statement of faith, and we're looking at angels and demons. So we've been walking through our statement of faith. This is one of those places where we're expressing, here's what we believe as a church about angels and demons. Yes, this is one of those places where there can be some kind of differences in churches and still be okay. But we're going to kind of just give in general, here's what we see in Scripture and here's what we believe. And then next week, you got to come for next week talking about end times. And so that's where it gets a little more crazy and fun. And so hopefully we don't have a fight or anything in here. But I'm kidding. It's not going to. There's a lot of strong beliefs out there. I'm excited for it. So angels and demons, unless you grew up in a Pentecostal church or a highly charismatic church, and if you did, you know what I'm talking about. Unless you did, you probably don't think about the spiritual realm very much. And in those churches, like, it's talked about a lot more. It's just a lot more in your face. And sometimes it's off. Sometimes it's probably they're a little bit more accurate than we can be. But in kind of the Reformed church or conservative Christian evangelicalism, we can kind of be a little bit more on the side of, we just don't really talk about angels and demons. It's just kind of a little bit odd, maybe. And so I know that we're coming from lots of different backgrounds and different places, and maybe even as an unbeliever, it might sound like, well, that's just way out there. You might be sitting here thinking, it's a little goofy to be talking about spirit beings. You may want to be like, hey, give me some evidence, like some hard physical evidence that there's a demon, there's angels. Give me those things. And it might just sound kind of like what I'm talking about here is like from a horror movie or something you watch that you wish you hadn't watched and you did. And then it's like, ah, is that what he's talking about? Right? But some of us may be coming more from a place where you do believe in angels and demons. You do believe they're real, but you just don't know how they fit into a proper theology. You're just kind of like, I don't know what to do with them. Or you have a misunderstanding about what they do. Or some people, a lot of times, I feel like just, why do we need to talk about this? Like, let somebody else deal with that problem, okay? Let's just stick with something we can understand. And I get that. It can be a little challenging or a little confusing when we're looking at stuff that just is so outside of our norm. And so I do think that we have typically have these extremes where this side focuses and fixates on the spiritual and the spiritual realm. And it's just that's all you talk about and everything is about Satan and Satan's doing everything and Satan made me do it. And this is just all it's just kind of or maybe it's not even that. It's just that you grew up in a household where you just were interacting with the spiritual world constantly as a medium or something like that. And this is like just in your face versus those that are like, yeah, that's just kind of craziness. And we just don't really think about that or ever talk about that. So we kind of have those two extremes. And my guess is that most of us, because of how we grew up, just in our culture in general, we're probably way more over here. I know there's some people over there. Probably most of us are way more over here because we grew up with this naturalistic worldview. That when you see a storm coming, well, the meteorologist who understands them told you because science, and that's what caused this. There's nothing beyond it. That's kind of just our view. And then you learn in school, you learn evolution, you learn these naturalistic things. So talking about the spiritual realm is kind of a little bit like, maybe, but that's a little odd, right? So it's nothing against us. It's kind of just how we grew up. So I don't think most of us are fixated on the spiritual world. When I was a youth pastor, I was at the church by myself. This was a long time ago, okay? It's a different church. And our church was for sale, and so people would come and visit every now and then. We wanted to take a tour, and I still don't think they've sold that building, and that was a long time ago. It's a weird building. And so this old lady comes to the door, older woman comes to the door. And I open the door, and all I can say is when I opened the door to her and I looked at her and I looked in her eyes, it looked like I was looking at a demon. And it's not because I look at demons often. I'm just saying that's the only explanation I can give is it looked like I was looking in the eyes of a demon and I freaked out and my heart starts racing. It's just pure adrenaline, pure panic. And I'm like, what do I do? And so I'm like, maybe I just close the door on this person because I'm freaking out, right? Well, then as this is happening, I look up again and she kind of looks normal. And she's kind of like, what is with this guy? And so I should have just said, I'm a youth pastor. I'm not a real pastor. Just don't mind me. And there was no real pastor to get to be like, help me. I was by myself. So I gave her a tour. And we walked around and everything was fine. And she left. And right before she left, I was like, so, you know, what are you looking for this building for? Oh, it's for our church. I'm like, church? So I Googled the church she told me. And I read all the stuff about it. And it's a cult. So this woman was part of a cult, and there was some kind of demonic activity happening there. And for me, though, that was a moment where it was like, it was very clear that the spiritual world and the real world, like, came in contact. And I don't know, you know, we could probably go to Scripture and argue and try to talk about what do we think happens with people and demons and their work in lives of those who are unbelievers and those kind of things. All I can tell you is I know that when I looked in her eyes, it was something otherworldly and it was terrifying. To the point where I was having a physical reaction to that. Like, get me out of here. I just want to get out of here. I want to close. I really was thinking about just closing the door on her. So that was a time when I encountered the spiritual world in a very real way. But we don't always encounter the spiritual world like that. Right? A lot of times we can just go week to week, month to month, year to year, and not even think about it, really. at least angels and demons. Maybe we talk to God, but we don't really think about the spiritual world that is right in front of us. So I want to pray, and then we're gonna work through this passage and then go to a couple other things about the angels and demons. So let's pray. Father, the spiritual world is real. It can be challenging when we don't see it. It can be challenging to remember that it's real. We can at times want to, I don't know, maybe just ignore it because it is weird. It's weird to us, God. It's different. It's other. It's otherly. It's a different world. But I truly believe that in this room there are some that have just been lulled to sleep by the enemy and don't see the danger that they're living in. They don't see the spiritual path they are on. They don't understand that they are being deceived right now by the enemy. And so we pray that the light of your truth would shine in this room. The light of your gospel would break through the darkness. And that you would use me and you would use my words to communicate what you want. And that your word and the power of your word would break some strongholds this morning. I pray we would not resist, and I pray that you push the enemy back so that the good news of Jesus Christ can be seen for all that it is, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Father, we trust you. We trust you completely. Put our faith in you. Do these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the foundation for what I want us to understand, number one, is that the spiritual world is in front of you. The spiritual world is right in front of you. Okay? Go back to 2 Kings chapter 6 and look at verse 15 with me. 2 Kings 6, verse 15. This is what Greg read. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He's freaking out. And he said, Elisha said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So Elisha's servant is freaking out, right? He steps outside, and there is an army in front of him. Picture that, like today. Imagine that. You open your door, and you see the FBI, and they all have their guns, or an actual, you know, an army in front of you. Like, what would be your response? Like, "Oh, cool, this is normal." No, it would probably be similar to the servant, like, "Oh, what are we going to do?" Well, what's Elisha's response? He doesn't even flinch. He doesn't freak out at all. Why? Is it because the threat wasn't real? Because that army didn't really matter? No, the threat was real. The threat was right there. It was a scary situation. But why wasn't he afraid? Well, look what he says. He prays, and he tells the servant, or before he prays, he tells the servant, "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And then he prays, and the servant's eyes are opened. And what does he see? He sees the mountain is full of these horses and chariots of fire all around him. So notice the difference of response, that the servant is freaking out. Elisha is calm and confident. Why is he able to do that? Because he sees that God's army is all around him. He knows that God's army is all around him. And what I want you to get this morning then is that the spiritual world is all around you right now. So it's happening, whether we see it or not, both the devil's kingdom and God's kingdom, whether you see it or not, both of these realms or both of these kingdoms are fighting in a realm that is all around us. And it can be confusing because a lot of times, like growing up, for me it was like, well, I know there's crazy stuff happening in Africa, but like we're good here. And it is a little more subtle here. But The spiritual realm is real in Africa, and it's real here as well. And in case you're tempted to think that, hey, this is just, that was in the old days, Matt. So you picked a passage from 2 Kings, and that's the old days. Well, listen to what it says in Ephesians 6. Paul says, to put on the armor, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. He's scheming. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Paul's teaching that this is still continuing. The battle is still raging. You're wrestling against that ultimately. And I just think that too many of us are kind of blind to the spiritual world. We just don't see it. And because we don't see it, I'm guilty of this, because you don't see it, you assume nothing's happening. Right? You're just kind of like, eh. But we need our eyes to be open, just like the servant, right? I need my eyes to be able to see what's really going on around me. I don't want us to be numb. I don't want us to be drugged. Satan, I really do believe that he can just kind of lay this like drug, this spiritual Xanax or something, or this haze that you just kind of, It's why, I was talking to someone after the first service, it's why you probably are like, man, I don't know if I want to go to church this morning. Like, that's just, I'm wiped out. I don't know if I want to get, I don't know. Is today the day? Maybe today's a good day to miss. Right? Like, it's those things that you just kind of like, I'm not feeling it. Satan kind of just, you're going to be fine on your own. You don't need that stuff right now. You're just okay. Kind of just lulls us to sleep. Okay, a couple quick thoughts before our second point. Just so that you know, as you're reading scripture, I want you to be aware of these things when you look at angels and demons. Angels have different names and demons have different names in scripture, so you're not always going to see that and just automatically, oh, that's an angel, that's a demon. You just need to be aware of this, okay? Angels can go by sons of God, holy ones. We see in Daniel, they're called watchers or ruler or authority, which we've already read. Living creatures, seraphim, cherubim. Like, you're going to hear these different names for angels. And then demons, same thing. They're going to be called in the New Testament a lot of times unclean spirit or ruler in authority. So sometimes you have ruler and authority for angels, which I guess we're actually the demonic we read in Ephesians 6. And then demons can also be called rulers in authority, if that makes sense. So you're going to hear these different names in Scripture, so it's not always going to be cut and dry. It's not always going to say an angel or a demon, right? You might read that, or you might read some of these other names. So just be aware of that. And then for the rest of what we're talking about, you have to keep this. This has to be the structure that everything else fits in, okay? Satan and his demons can only act with God's permission. Got to get that, okay? We have to get that. That in Job chapter 1, what do we see happening? Satan wants to cause harm. He wants to cause disaster. He wants to do what he does. But he can only do it when God says, okay, you're allowed to go that far. Okay, you're allowed to go that far, right? So you have to understand that. And we could talk about suffering and those things, and maybe we will have to have a sermon or something on that at some point of how God actually allows Satan to do that, and then how Satan hangs himself on his own tries of testing and tempting Job, but how God accomplishes his work in Job that he needed to do. It is fairly incredible, and it's kind of confusing when we look at it at the same time, because we experience it in different ways. Then Mark chapter 5, we see that the demons have to get permission from Jesus. So I want you to get this. God is in control. God is in control, right? So God has to give permission. Jesus has to give permission if they're going to do anything. So keep that in mind, because they do have great power. Angels and demons have great power, but they are limited. And they're limited to time and place, so they can only come one place at a time. It's not like God. So we got to keep in mind, who is God? He's omnipresent. He's limitless. He's boundless. He has no. His strength is we can't comprehend, right? So here's this God who's indescribable, and sometimes we start talking about spirit beings and we kind of like can squish him down to that level. They're not at the same level at all, and yet they do have more power, these spirit beings, than we do, right? But they are limited. All right, the second thing that we need to see is that Satan wants to feast on you. Satan wants to feast on you. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, to feast on, to swallow. He wants to take you in. So we said in our statement of faith that Satan rebelled against God, right? We believe that Satan is the leader of these rebel angels, the demons. So who is Satan? We kind of need to understand that as believers. Who is Satan? We'll just go really quick. Here's a few things it says in Scripture about Satan. He's the ancient serpent. Genesis 3, Revelation 20. He's the father of lies. John chapter 8, verse 44. Same verse. He's a murderer from the beginning. He's scheming against you. We just read that in Ephesians 6. He's seeking to devour you. That's who Satan is. His name actually means accuser. He's accusing you. And in John 10:10, he comes to steal and kill and destroy. This is Satan. He's always in opposition to God. His aim is to be like the Most High. He wants to take over where God is. He wants to set himself up in God's place. We see that in Isaiah 14. Therefore, for you, for me, it means that we are born into a war. You're born into a war. You don't have a choice. You can't get out of it. You didn't get to decide. You are born into a war. Satan's kingdom is warring against God's kingdom, always. This is a constant clash. So that means that you and I, we need to have a wartime mentality. Like you need to view life and understand life that you are living in a war, in a battle. This is a battleground. Okay? And I do think that there's times and places where the battle gets hotter, it gets crazier, and you might receive more, you know, bullets coming at you from the enemy. I do think that this time it is getting, it's getting more and more intense. So you have to be ready then with that wartime mentality. That there is an enemy who seeks to destroy you. And he hates God. And he wants to destroy what God is doing. And he wants to mar God's good image. And he wants to crush anything good or beautiful or right or true. And this first happens in the garden. And look at how this happens. Genesis chapter 3, Satan enters the story, and we find that he's already sinful. Satan's the one who tempts Adam and Eve, right? He's the ancient serpent. So sometime prior to Adam and Eve, Satan rebels against God. And now his plan is he wants to take God's good creation, and he wants that good creation to follow his path. Okay, come down here with me where I'm at. But how does he do this? This is the thing we got to get. Satan says to Adam and Eve, he says, did God really say? Did he really say that? Do you see what he's doing? He's not saying, here's what God said and let me take you all the way off the cliff. He's saying, okay. Hey. Just meet me in the middle. Let's just kind of, here's where God's at. Here's this other place. Don't worry about that. Just meet me in the middle here. This kind of neutral space. And let's just consider. Would you guys just consider with me? You think God would really say that? Like, he doesn't draw hard lines. He's loving. He's a little more nuanced. You guys have this kind of archaic view of God. He's not like that. Do you think he really would say that thing to you? Do you see what Satan does? It is so subtle that you don't even realize that there's death in his words. And then we just drink that in. This neutrality that Satan presents, let's move away from there and kind of come in this middle ground, is actually opposition to God. And he does the same thing to us today. Like, how many times have we fallen for that? How many times have I been like, oh, maybe you're right? Like, what starts to happen inside of us is that we start to say, He's asking me this question, did God really say? So is God really like that? Does his character really match what he said in his word? I'm not over here doing some horrific sins, okay? I'm just saying, and as soon as that thought enters your mind, you're already holding on to the fruit and you're ready to sin. Like, we are already setting ourselves up to join the opposition, to join opposing God. We are joining Satan in opposing God. We're already there. So you have to be prepared. So 1 Peter 5, verse 8 is saying, you have to be watching. He's seeking to devour you. And most of the time, he's not going to appear, and you're not going to see him in a way that is terrifying. You're not going to see him, or you're not going to see this little red guy with a pitchfork, right? That's not what you're going to see. What are you going to see? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. For such men are, verse 13, for such men are false prophets or false apostles, deceitful workmen disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. What this is teaching is that the most destructive false teachers look like upstanding Christians. They look nice. They are doing righteous things by appearance. But they are the most destructive, right? There's something hidden. So we have to have eyes to see. I got to be able to see what's behind that suit and tie. They look nice, but what's underneath it? Last week we talked about church, and I think this is a huge reason why it's so, so, so important to come and to gather. What you're doing right now. Why? Because you are under assault all week. Greg was praying that during announcement time. It's like, I don't know everything that you guys have experienced, but I know that you have been under assault from the enemy because it happens over and over and over and over. And so what do you need? You need to gather. You need to be with other believers. You need to hear God's word. You need to sing praises to God. You need to get your heart reoriented back to the Lord, right? And just like the war, like I said, a wartime mentality, it's like you got to come back and get treated and get those wounds bandaged up. And you got to hear someone say, okay, let's go back out there and we got to get them. Let's keep going. But first, let's take a look at what is true and what is right. Let's take a look at our God, our great King who we serve. Now let's go. Right? So that's why church, last week we talked about church and our Savior. That's why it's so important. We can't give up on that. You are under attack constantly. Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to deceive you. He wants to blind you and just lead you off track just a little bit until you're way over here. He wants to deaden your heart to where you're just numb or indifferent, or you just become lazy spiritually. And I think one of the biggest things that he has done and accomplished lately is the fear that we all feel. And unless you're beyond the rest of us, mere humans, 2020 was the year of fear, right? I mean, I just really, really was. It became that. I don't know. Maybe you didn't experience that. We all need to learn from you. But it was a fearful time. It still continues to be fearful in some ways. But it's just all of a sudden, what is happening? I mean, I'm an Ethiopian. I'm thinking, I'm hearing reports of everything being shut down and locked down. And like, are there millions of people who are just going to die? What's going to happen? And then you have the turmoil in our country and politics and the strife and the streets. And just like, we get confused. We get fearful. We get told certain things. We don't know if it's right, if it's wrong. Satan is controlling us and bringing about, just breathing this fear, 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 fear each other, fear each other. Fear what's going on. You don't know what's going to happen. He's the master at that. So what I want you to see, though, is who is behind that, right? Satan. So you hear a decision made by someone, right? Yeah, they made that decision. They did. They're responsible for it. They'll have to answer to God. But who is fueling the fear behind that? Well, who loves destruction? Who wants to destroy you? Who wants to confuse you? Who wants your children to live in anxiety? Satan does. Who wants to bring about the most pain, the most destruction that he can cause? The enemy. So those are things that I'm saying. There's something behind. There's always something behind what you see and what's going on. The third thing then that we see about angels and demons is that angels fight for the faithful. Angels fight for the faithful in Psalm 91. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, which is talking about Jesus being superior to the angels, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? So angels are sent to minister. Angels are messengers. Angels accomplish God's will and God's purpose. Okay? So one question we might ask is, do angels interact with us today? Well, you saw our statement of faith, so you already know what we think. But I don't think you're going to experience something like Luke chapter 2, right? With the birth of Christ. You're probably not going to experience this multitude of angels singing glory to God in the highest. And it's like, whoa. So if you're thinking of angels interacting with us like that, you might kind of pull back and say, okay, well, that was special to the birth of Christ, right? So something like that, if that's in your mind, okay, that's special to the birth of Christ. But if you do go to Hebrews chapter 13, it says this, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. So what I want you to see, though, is that then angels do still interact with our world. And angels still are doing God's work. You might see it, you might not. Okay? But what I want you to understand is that it hasn't stopped. It might be interacting with our world, or it might be behind the scenes, the chariots of fire all around. But that angels are still doing God's will, and he still commands them to do things, to guard, to protect you, to minister to you. Okay? What does this have to do with my life? I look at my life and, oh, angels and demons. What is it? How does this interact with my life? Two things I want you to understand. Number one, what you see is not all there is. What you see is not all there is. The world might be falling apart right in front of you. And in a lot of ways, we have seen this happen, but that's not the whole picture. There are chariots of fire all around you. I want you to get that. Like, that angels are warring to bring God's message and God's response to prayers to you. We see that in Daniel chapter 10. Go read that later. So what you see is not all there is. Number two, what we know is that Jesus is victorious. So hold on to that. As the world does fall apart, or as things get harder, or as if cancer takes over, Jesus is victorious, that on the cross, Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities. And then what we said in our statement of faith, at the final judgment, Satan and his demons are going to be cast into the lake of fire. So it's just like, okay, we can look forward to that. No, he's still here and he's still causing trouble right now. But eventually Jesus is going to take him and throw him into the lake of fire. And it's like, it's over. It's over. The war's over. Your enemy is not after you anymore. You're not being hunted down. Somebody's not trying to devour you anymore. You don't have to look over your shoulder. That fear, that panic, it's gone. Okay? Jesus did away with it. Now in Colossians 2, tells us that God took our record of sin, all of it, every last sin, every small little thing you ever did, your entire record of sin, and Jesus on the cross, God nailed it to the cross, canceling our record of sin. And at that moment, on the cross, Jesus disarmed the demonic rulers and authorities. Because here's the truth, Christian, if you're a Christian, in Christ, your sins are forgiven. All of them. In Christ, you are now alive. It gives you a new heart. In Christ, you have relationship with God. In Christ, the power of sin has been taken away. No longer has control over you. Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities. So we have hope in that. And so in that, we can hear the same words from Elisha, is do not fear. Do not fear, brothers and sisters. Look around you. It's like Elisha's servant. Look around you. See what's around. And understand this, it only gets better in the New Testament. In 1 John chapter 4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So when Satan comes on, when he comes to attack, don't forget that the Spirit of the living God is in you. So you can resist him. He does not have power and control over you. So what I want to do and how I want to end is I want to give you an opportunity to respond to this by having an elder or deacon or one of our wives pray with you. If you're experiencing something where you just need some prayer in life in general, but I think specifically thinking, okay, that the spiritual world is real. And spiritual warfare is real. And how do we fight these things? Well, we're wrestling not against flesh and blood. We have to use weapons that are not of this world, right? Like prayer, like God's word. And we need other people sometimes, like I said, we're coming in from the battle. We need other people sometimes to come and grab you and say, hey, let me bandage you up. Let me pray for your protection. Let me remind you who you are in Christ. Let me remind you of your Father who is in heaven, who is reigning and ruling right now. You need to hear those things. So I want to give you an opportunity to have someone pray for you. And if there's things in your life that maybe seem like, oh, this was just something I'm struggling with at work or family or this relationship or this decision that came down from my boss. Yeah, those things are happening and those things are real and you might have to determine. But sometimes the things that are happening in our life are spiritual oppression. And that you might just think, well, I'm just struggling with like a little bit of, you know, just kind of some depression. I'm just struggling with a little bit of anxiety. You know, I'm struggling with those things. You might need someone to just pray with you and say, yeah, those things are real. You know where those things are coming from. You know who's driving that depression and that anxiety in you right now? It's Satan. It's the evil one. He wants to destroy you. He hates you. He wants you trapped. He wants you isolated. He wants you stuck. He wants the darkness to overtake you. And so what you need is you need another believer to say, here's the light of the gospel. Let it break through into your heart. Right? Now, it doesn't mean it takes everything away all at once, or maybe it will. Depends on what God wants to do. But I think we need to pray for each other, and we need to pray against fear. We need to pray against the evil one. And as Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, to pray to be delivered from the evil one. So, as the worship team comes and leads the last song, I'm going to just have elders and deacons, whoever's here, come up and stand at the back. And I'm going to give you a chance then to just have someone pray for you. And really, I think pray in the sense of specifically engaging in that warfare, that spiritual warfare, understanding we're in a war, and understanding that the enemy hates you, wants to devour you. That is real. So we want to pray with you. We want to pray over you. We want to protect you. I want to remind you that you are covered in Christ's blood, that sometimes we just need to be remembered. Your sins are forgiven. They've been disarmed. So don't let them deceive you anymore. Don't let them take ground in your heart. And frankly, we all need to be reminded of that at times. We all get lost in that. We all start veering off the trail and someone's got to come back over here. That's what this prayer time can be for you. So as I pray, here at the end, I just want you to ask the Lord if you need that. If you need that prayer, it is available to you. And do not let Satan lull you into just thinking, I'm okay, if you're not. Maybe you are. Maybe you can pray with someone else. But if you're not, it's available to you right now. So if the elders, when I start praying, if you and the deacons would kind of head towards the back, and then we will be available to pray. Father in heaven, we want to come before you and recognize that you are mighty. You're mighty to save. You're mighty to deliver. You're mighty to bring about all that is good and right and true. And so we want to come before a mighty God and want to understand that we ultimately are in submission to you. and that even the demons are in submission to you and Satan. But man, Satan can cause a lot of trouble, cause a lot of pain, a lot of turmoil, a lot of suffering. Anybody who needs that in this room, God, I pray that you would start to, needs relief from that. You would start to move in their hearts right now. You'd start to move in their circumstances, and that they would receive the help that they need from you today. Understanding the spiritual world and that it is real and it is right in front of us. God, but in the end, remembering Jesus is victorious. And we praise you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand and worship with us?